Are you ready? Oh, boy.
Yep, we got you.
I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. Our Old Testament comes from Hosea, chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. They can be found on page 722 in your pew Bible. This is apparently a time that God is not too happy with the children of Israel. So he tells Hosea to do this and do that. So we'll begin here. I'm very nervous. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived him and bore him a son. Gomer and Shazam, he does it. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. Oh, I missed a whole passage here, didn't I? No. She conceived again and bore him a daughter. Then the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Harama, for I have no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will save them from the Lord their God. And I will not save them by bow or by the sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she weaned the Lo-Harama, she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can neither be measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.'" Amen. Amen.
Oh, forget the mic.
Oh, geez.
There you go.
And our New Testament lesson from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, on Pew Bible page 840. "He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing within. And he answers from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is your friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, for the prayer that you taught your son, and all the ways in which you are active in our lives, Lord. We ask that you'll look after us and watch over us. And as we listen to your word today, may it guide our path and enliven our hearts. Open our hearts and minds, Lord, to what you're saying and how you're challenging and directing us to serve and be your people. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Amen. So it has been 2,000 plus years, talking about anniversaries, since Jesus gave this prayer to us. And it's still going strong. Imagine something else that lasts that long. The Roman Empire, not even close. Even the various kingdoms of the world, none have lasted for those 2,000 years. But there's a little difference between Luke's version, as you noticed. I could probably notice a few lips going along with the reading and then having to kind of shift and move a little bit, as Luke's version and Matthew's version kind of have little differences, small differences. But it is such a familiar prayer for all of us. It's one of the earliest ones we learn. Maybe God is great, God is good, let us thank him for the food is the one ahead of it, but that's learning and kids. But the prayer begins with the initial address to God, as the kids and I talked about. That initial statement, Our Father. Let me take a moment and point out a few things about that with the name. First, you're starting out and addressing God. You're not opening up with your concerns, your worries. You're opening it up with a greeting, with that initial address. You're talking with the Most High. But also think about the privilege and beauty that is in talking about how hallowed God's name is. We know God's name, which way back then, it was a really big deal to know a God's name, to know and be told who that God was. And it sets that tone for us because it begins with God. And I know it's weird saying a prayer begins with God because for the most part, the Lord's Prayer has formulated and shaped all of our prayers. But the petition of the prayer keeps going. It covers the needs in the present, the case and care of sustenance. It then moves into the future and past at different points, all of which deals with how we live out and serve God. It deals with how we are God's people. Now, scholars have said that there are two great uses in our normal prayers for the Lord's Prayer, beyond the normal uses. So how can the Lord's Prayer help us a little bit more in our devotions? Well, if we begin with the Lord's Prayer, begin our prayer with the Our Father, it can set our eyes and our attention on God where it should be. If it comes at the end, it refocuses, readdresses things. So it kind of acts as a prayer funnel for us to both direct our prayers towards God, but also encapsulate all those other pieces. It enlivens our devotions and prayers. It gives so much more to us in our prayers. But in our scripture today, it isn't just about the prayer. It's about the content of prayer, the greater content, and what all that means. Granted, there have been a lot of times when I've done sermon series about the Lord's Prayer, and you can kind of see where the breakdowns happen and you talk about it, but not today. It's an early prayer that we teach to new believers. And that's why Jesus is teaching it to the disciples. Because it helps them to learn how to pray. And I know we're looking at the age of the disciples and the fact that they've had some faith background, and we're like, but why does Jesus need to teach them a prayer? They've obviously been praying for 30 and up years of their lives. But the challenge here is this. Just because you know how to pray doesn't mean you know how to pray the right way. Think about how many times you've gone to visit somebody, and just because they know how to make a cup of coffee doesn't mean they know how to make a good cup of coffee. I'm thinking of my father-in-law right now, who makes brown water. The reality is Jesus is, again, in that space where he's trying to prep and prepare the disciples for what's going to come next. And let's be honest, what is one of the most foundational points of our world and our lives and our relationship with God? It is foundational with prayer. So if Jesus is going to prepare the disciples for what's coming, what is one of the top probably five things he needs to teach them? The right way to pray. The right guidance for prayer. After all, how many of us have ever had somebody ask us or heard somebody ask for a prayer revolving around a sporting event? Every Super Bowl, there's always that prayer. Oh, could we have a prayer that the Patriots wouldn't win? And granted, because God really loves to treat us with a little bit of a love and compassion, but also you got to learn your lessons. That's why the Patriots still win. I'm a firm believer in the faith of sports. The reality is we pray selfishly often. We pray for things. How many of us have ever heard a young person pray, God, I'd like $1 million? Is that how we are supposed to pray? So think about those learning curves of prayer that we have to kind of learn and go through. And so the reality is Jesus wants us to learn not just the prayer, but the other parts of prayer. And it starts out with two very tangible but kind of dated examples. So let's set the stage for the first example. You go to your neighbor's house and knock on the door at midnight. Because how many of us have needed a loaf of bread at that hour of the... The reality is with grocery stores and phones, we don't have people dropping by our houses at midnight and having to go get food. We can be prepared. But in the world where Jesus lived, in that early time, people didn't know that you had a guest until you had a guest. And if the larder was not full, you had to find a way to be hospitable. And if it's at midnight, it's at midnight. So you go to your neighbor's house and you knock. And of course, they've got to come from the master bedroom all the way down to the door and, oh, wait. Houses were much, 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 much smaller than they were, even when Hurley was built. You think about our houses, think about all of our historic houses and how big they are compared to these small little houses during Jesus' time. You would have maybe one room in your house with the family, the kitchen, all of that together. And so when the neighbor, the friend, says, hey, the kids are in bed with me, they are literally in the bed with them. I don't know how this conversation isn't waking up the kids, but that's a whole other, let the parable be the parable. The reality is they're knocking on the door, you're annoying your neighbor, and the neighbor has excuses, right? How do you get the neighbor to still give you the bread? I need the bread, Bob. I need the bread. I need the bread. Come on, I need the bread. You persist. You annoy them. And that's that conversation Jesus is talking about. And it's not about going in prayer and annoying God. That's not the way we pray. We're not annoying God. We're not doing the lovely thing that kids do whenever you take them somewhere. I want this. You're not getting this. I want this, and I want this, I want this, I want this. And it doesn't stop, right? Until they get it. And then it's on to the next thing. But it's that pestering, that wearing you down that kids do. And guess what? This is not that. Because if you can wear down your neighbor, and your neighbor is a normal human, God loves us. God cares for us. How much more? If your neighbor will do this because you annoy him, how much more will a God who loves you, who cares for you, who listens to your every cry and celebration, how much more will God listen to you and hear what is said? If you can wear down a neighbor, how much more will God listen and act? So it's not about the persistence. It's not about the fact that the house is huge and the neighbor can just sit there and wait you out. It's about whether or not the neighbor will eventually give in. And a God who loves us doesn't have to be worn down, doesn't have to be brought to the point of giving in. God doesn't have a do not disturb sign. But let's muddy the waters a little bit about that whole persistence piece. Because the word is anedion. And it means to the point of annoyance. You're going to persist to the point of annoyance. It's a great word. It's a terrible word. But it's a very good description word. Because it describes that frustrating, hey, how about you do this? How about you do this? How about you do this? That persistence, that wearing down. And if you can do that to a normal person, if you can anedion someone, won't God, who doesn't need to be worn down, act on our prayers? But then we get to the next part that Jesus talks about. Because he talks about ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Think about that story again about the neighbor. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it will be given. If a closed door and a less willing neighbor is what humans are going to do, isn't God always going to open the door? Isn't God always going to give us what we need at any time and at all times? But then we come to the next part. What does God give us? Now, the fish or a snake, the scorpion or egg, it's a case of even if we would do the right thing, we would do the right thing with a kid, right? I mean, there was this whole scare when I was a kid about somebody doing something with the candy on Halloween and all of that. That's beside the point. If we would give the child what they asked for, the fish, the egg, if we, sinners that we are, would give the child what they need, if we would listen to the child, how much more will God listen to us? How much more will God hear our cries, our supplications, our asking? The reality here is Jesus isn't just teaching a prayer. He's talking about how we are to pray, how wide our asks can be, how unfettered our access to God is. Knock and the door will be open. That doesn't mean that there is a open during certain hours sign with God. God is open 24/7, 365 for us. God is willing to listen at all times to our prayers. And God is willing to hear us and give us what we need. It's absolutely one of the most beautiful things. Not just the Lord's Prayer, but how God is engaged in our prayers. Prayer is this beautiful back and forth between us and God. It is us taking every weight, be it good weight or concerns weight, and setting it before God. It's us talking with the most powerful being in the world and asking for what we need. Brothers and sisters, don't just pray this way, as Christ said, but also pray all of what Christ said. May we take our worries, our cares before Him at all times in the beauty of prayer, and whatever concerns or joys we have, may they be His concerns as well. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us respond to God through our gifts.